Laurel?
Yes?
I don't feel like working.
Okay, let's talk.
All right. Hey, welcome to our podcast. So one of the things is that we've tried to add our podcast to rss.com.
Yes.
And so you might be listening to it from there, I think. And funny thing, Laurel can tell you what happened with that.
Yeah, well, I've never been good at those "Are you a robot?" things, but this time it was just a checkbox, and I still failed. And they thought that we were spam, so they froze the account while I was in the middle of trying to set it up. And so I wrote them and was like, "I don't know what happened. Maybe it just timed out." And they were like, "Nope, our computer flagged you as spam." I'm like, "Okay." They said, "Tell us a little bit about your podcast." So I did, and they said, "Oh, you're fine. You're good to go." I'm like,
"Yeah,
okay."
So we're going to start posting our episodes to rss.com and see how that goes. And today is November 6, 2024.
Yes, it is.
A couple of things came to mind. One is it's the day after the election, and I have something to say about that. Not political, so if you...
Are on either side, don't worry.
This is, you know, our goal with it, with this podcast is not to be political in any way. Our content is for everybody. And number two, I don't know if we have ever gone back and said what we do, like what our business is and why we're talking about creative stuff and any of that stuff.
I think we did talk about that.
Okay. We'll have to review a little bit, maybe, back some episodes and see what we talked about. But
yeah.
The thing that I thought about in the related to the election is that obviously there is a big portion of this country that didn't get the outcome they wanted from the election. And because of that, I know that there is, you know, people get depressed, you know, if it didn't go their way. And I realize that there are certain things that make it less likely for you to want to be creative. And I think... certain life events, like I remember being in a workshop one time where the author, you know, it was a famous author, was saying, you know, if you want to be a successful writer, stay married, you know. And he was married, he happened to be married, and I think what he was saying, and he explained it a little bit, was that when you go through something like divorce or you know, some, you know, maybe there's a loss in your family or friends or whatever, it's just incredibly hard to be creative. You know, there's...
Yeah, whenever you're dealing with a lot of stress, you know, any kind of a change, then it can be hard to be creative because then you're worried about the future. And And to get into a creative space, you have to be able to let go of, you know, what's going on around you and focus on your work. And it can be really hard to do that if life is super stressful.
And we've had situations where, you know, whether it's money that you're worried about or I know that there are certain jobs that I've had where all my creative juices are just gone because, you know, it's a stressful situation during work.
Especially if it's, you know, negative stressful. I mean, even positive stressful, like, you know, if you're heading up to a wedding or, you know, looking forward to something important that's big, even if it's good, it can be distracting. But if you're worried about something or dealing with something negative, even more so, it just sucks the creative juice right out of you.
And some people, I think, are good at turning, you know, things that happen that are bad into, you know, that's how they get their ideas, for example. But we have found that boring sometimes is better, right, for creative things. Like, it's a funny thing, but if I'm driving somewhere, and I, especially if I know the path, so I don't have to think about where I need to turn or pay attention to the things because the car is almost in autopilot as far as my mind goes. That's where I get my best ideas a lot of times.
Right. And I think that's why a lot of people talk about getting ideas in the shower, because you don't have to think. You know how to wash yourself, you know? And so then your brain is just sort of free to come up with ideas.
It's like my brain has multiple things going on at the same time. And one of the things is just worrying about life. And of course, that one is really hard to shut down certain times, but certain times it's just like I get used to like worrying about, okay, where are the kids right now? What is, you know, what are we going to have for dinner? What are we going to, you know, how are we going to pay this bill and that bill and whatever? And if I don't shut that down, then my creative thread can't go on. And so I shut it down by doing things like driving somewhere or like exercising or, you know, things that I'm like, okay, I'm here, I'm stuck. I don't have to worry about all those other things.
Because I can't do anything about them now.
I can't do anything about them right now. And that allows my creative juices to
flow. And what's interesting is, I mean, those stressful times in your life often are the fodder that the stories come from. But when you're in the middle of them, it's normally not a good time to try and be creative. And so, you know, we've kind of laughed because for a long time when Jose started writing stories, all of his stories were fish out of water stories. And a lot of that probably went back to moving from Puerto Rico to Michigan.
That's right.
When he was a freshman in high school. And so even though they were, you know, fantasy stories or sci-fi stories and crazy funny plots, a lot of it went back to that. But he wasn't writing it in the middle of that, right? This is
right. Yeah,
a few
that
decades
would have been
later.
Really hard. Especially because I couldn't write in English yet. But yes, it is the same idea. And I think it's particularly difficult after an election, at least this is, you know, for me, because whether you, you know, if you're on the losing side, for example, some of your identity is wrapped around your choices for, you know, who you vote for. Like you think of yourself one way, you know, and this is going to be sound really silly, but I'm going to use the example of sports, you know, because there was a time that our team was losing, and you can really wrap yourself around sports. And I think that's the same thing with politics, to the point where you're like, identify with your team. And if you are a loser, you know, in the losing team, then your tendency is to feel like that's me, you know, I lost. I don't know. You're kind of maybe laughing at that. But there was a time with our team where I was just like, I don't get it. You know, we have one of the best coaches. We have some of the best players. And yet no matter what we do, we are always losing, you know?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there is some of that identity. The team that we root for has historically been a good team. And so some of that is like, wait a minute, who am I if we're losing now?
Right.
and some of it, you know, going back to elections, whether your side wins or loses, that change, if there's a change of administration, there is that uncertainty. What does this mean? What's going to change? You know?
What's going to change? And you almost have to redefine yourself, is what I think, like in your mind, because so much of your creativity and is about who you are. And you have to like separate, I think, yourself from that and say, you know, I'm still trying to create things that are family friendly, that are, you know, positive, funny, you know.
And humor horror.
Humor horror. I'm still trying to entertain people no matter who it is, no matter what you think the election says about our country or not or whatever, you can separate yourself and say, no, this is who I am. I'm going to continue going forward, you know, writing my material and doing whatever, you know.
Because in the end, other than placing your vote, right, which takes 10 minutes or something, not including time in line or whatever, but you don't have detailed control over the politics.
Right.
And so once you voted, you can really just put it behind you and say, okay, whatever happened, happened, the rest of it, you know, good or bad, has nothing to do with me. And so now I just need to live my life and see, you know, yeah, there's another administration change. What does that mean? I don't know, but we'll find out. And in the meantime, let's get this done.
But just like with sports, it is really hard because you don't want to get wrapped up. You know, it seems silly to get wrapped up in sports, you know, or whatever.
I don't know. Growing up in my household, it was not silly. It was very much identity.
Right. You have your identity. You have your team. Even though you're not out there actually playing or anything, you know. And I'm using sports because we really don't want to talk politics. You know, we want this to be a friendly environment where everybody can listen to it. But especially after, you know, an election time, you feel like, wait, what is, you know, am I still the same that I was before, the day before? You know, yes, I'm still the same person. Am I going to still create stuff? Yes.
I know a few years back with our team, it was weird because it wasn't even just the identity. It was the depression.
Yeah. There is. It's a really silly thing again, you know, where you're like, you know, we went to the same school. We're like cheering for our team. And so much of your identity, you know, is, again, I keep apologizing because it seems silly. But so much of your identity has to do with the college you went to.
Yeah, if you're into sports or if, depending, you know, whatever you're really into, you can get your identity tied up into external things.
Yes.
That you have no control over. I don't control who the coach is. I don't control which players get injured. I don't control how good they are. I don't control the recruiting. I don't control their schedule. I don't control what the pundits say about them.
You know, never, you know, it'll never be that they will go and look at the cameras and say, you, we need you for this next play. No, all I'm doing is sitting on a couch, you know, cheering with some friends and eating some chips or whatever. But it could be anything. It could be like a scandal at your school, let's say. You know, you graduated from a university and now they found out that, you know, some evil coach was doing something or some professor.
Or lately it seems like a lot of doctors that work with schools are doing awful things.
Yeah, they're doing awful things. And now you realize that part of your identity is wrapped up on the fact that you went to that school and it just brings you whole, you know, down. Like, it just makes you depressed. Like, you're walking around, and it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, yeah, I went to the same school. You know, I might have even known some of the people. Oh, my goodness. You know, and that whole thing kills creativity so easily. You know, like, you're like, all of a sudden, am I writing the same jokes the next day? You know, like, am I right? Who is even my target audience now? You know, like,
And certainly, as we mentioned at the beginning, much more serious things have a much more serious impact. I mean, if your family, you know, someone in your family is dealing with health issues, it can make it almost impossible to separate yourself from your concerns and focus on your writing, you know, whether it's for scripts or stories or whatever. Or if there are some serious financial things going on with you or even with a family member, that can make it really hard, even if you can't help the family member, or even more so if you're trying to make a decision. You know, what am I going to do to change the situation? It can make it hard to work. And if your financial situation is based on your creativity, then that's a real problem. But even if it's not directly, even if you're still working a day job like Jose is, and then trying to be creative on top of it, then that exhaustion of dealing with the stress and the work and trying to be creative can just make it all seem so impossible.
Yeah, so I'm sitting here thinking about practicals, you know, like if I had to make myself a list. And sometimes, you know, I want you guys to know that we're not experts. We're learning this stuff as we go along. You know, we are involved on a day-to-day business of being creative. But sometimes, you know, this is like our therapy, you know, talking out loud about it. But, you know, I think one thing to remember is like boring is good for creativity. I mean, honestly, a lot of times I'm sitting in a boring meeting, you know, let's say during work, and I get all these ideas, you know, and the meeting doesn't require me to, you know, again, is shutting down that the worry thread and all that stuff that's running in your brain so that your creative side can come up. But also realizing that while you're going through it, while you're going through the experience, hey, this is going to be material for later. But right now, you sort of have to give yourself permission to, whether it's to grieve or to be depressed. It's one of those times where you're like, what am I, you know, who am I? I haven't changed, you know, from one day to the next. I'm still the same person. I'm just going through this situation right now, and I'm going to absorb it, and I just know it's going to be material for later.
But also getting away from it so it doesn't absorb your whole brain.
Right. So if you can, yeah.
Yeah, well, mentally, yeah. You have to get away from everything at times. I mean, whether it's, you know, giving yourself a dopamine burst by getting in some exercise or just walking in nature, or, you know, you have to refill your tank or you will burn out. You cannot always focus on the negative things in your life, because even if it's something that you need to make a decision about, you can't constantly be focusing on that. You have to give your brain a break.
Yeah, totally agree. And then knowing that you're going to use that, that's going to change you in some way, that is going to help you with it. And then later you're going to be able to,
capitalize,
do the boring thing in life again. Hopefully your life will get to a point where it's boring. The money is actually, you know, whether you have a good job or not, you at least have some money coming in. You at least know where food is coming and all those things. And, you know, and that allows your brain to actually relax and start thinking of creative things that you can do.
Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, what you can do when you can't write is you can read or, you know, watch something or listen to something that, you know, helps both with handling whatever you're going through, but also that will give your brain a break so that you can keep mentally healthy so that later on. And it feeds your creativity. It feeds your well of language and of people. I mean, you know, getting outside of your own head is the best thing you can do creatively most of the time, because unless you're just writing memoirs, and I think probably even then, you don't want to only see things from your own point of view. You have to be aware enough of other people and of other perspectives to write good stories.
Okay, so we're still figuring out our format here, but part of what we want to do with the this podcast is talk about gear as well, you know, things that we're using, and maybe give a status on what's happening right now with the studio.
Right. Yeah, we actually made some changes recently. We put up a larger area with the sound curtains around. It lets us both get in there and record at the same time. Before, we were planning to do most of our recording one at a time. And then we saw a bunch of videos where, who was it, Pixar, tends to record in pairs. And they were talking about how much better and more natural the dialogue comes out that way. And so we set it up so that we can both do our audio, record our audio at the same time.
Yeah, that way we can see each other. And I think it helps. We haven't recorded an official session, but we did a little bit of a practice. And I could tell right away that I just like recording not by myself. I do not like creative things where I'm by myself in a room or in an enclosed space and I have to be creative without sharing the experience with someone else. I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, even if the other person is just on the other side of the curtain hitting record, it just, almost everything that we are recording is someone else interacting. I mean, they're fictional, but it's, we're recording interactions. It's hard to do that without having interactions.
It's right. It's conversations. And so one of the pieces of gear that I actually was thinking of talking about today, and I guess I'll just go ahead and talk about it, is our teleprompter. You know, it doesn't seem like a big thing. Actually, you know, we'll put the name of it on the notes. You know, that's what everybody says.
Right.
But one thing we discovered, which is kind of cool, if you ever, if you're into doing facial mocap, we use our iPhones to capture our faces. The iPhones run a program that uses the LiDAR, I think is what they call it. The LiDAR is like this laser technology that hits your face and finds bones and
it's basically sonar with light instead of sound.
With light, yeah. This is not a technical podcast, for at least not for something. And what we wanted to know was, can we put that behind the glass of the teleprompter? Because we need to be able to look straight into the phone to be able to get the facial, you know, capture. And at the same time, we need to be able to see the video, the reference video that we use that tells us which lines we have to say.
So a reference video is basically a video recording of the scene we're going to do with captions in different colors for each of us. And so the teleprompter has a hole in the back of it where you can fit a camera. And so we stick our phone in there as the camera. And then we have an iPad with the reference video. And so we play the reference video and we record on the computer with the information from the phone.
Before, we were trying to view the reference videos on a screen behind the microphone. And what ends up happening is that your eyes look at the text, and so you're not looking straight into the phone that is capturing your face.
Right.
But now that we're using the teleprompter,
you're looking straight at it.
You're looking straight at it.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems small because you're just looking slightly above the other way, but you notice it in the characters. The eyes are always slightly off.
Slightly off. And so that was a cool thing that I wanted to share with people because of the fact that we didn't realize that it would work, but we just tried it. We put the phone that captures our faces behind, you know, in the spot where the camera would go, which is behind the teleprompter, and it works. The LiDAR goes right through it.
Yeah, we weren't sure if the lighter would, you know, bounce back and say there is no face there. We just have a flat piece of glass, but it goes right through it.
It's very cool. So now we put the microphone on top of the teleprompter, and, you know, it works. And we can use the teleprompter for other things. We're recording Laurel's book, for example.
Right.
And the software we're using is Smart...
Prompt Smart Pro, I believe.
Yes. And it's got this really cool feature where it hears your audio, hears what you're saying, and scrolls the text automatically.
Yes.
And this is for the iPad. It reverses the text also. So it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. It's funny because sometimes when we're doing the reference videos, occasionally it won't notice when you say a line. And so when we're recording for our mocap, facial mocap, sometimes we do extra takes because we're like, okay, it's not scrolling.
Right.
I haven't memorized
right.
the whole
sometimes
thing.
Sometimes we have to like say, hey, I said this line, you know, so that it will automatically scroll. But it's pretty cool because sometimes I noticed today I sort of jumped a paragraph and it found the text, you know, where I was and scrolled it to that position. So that's great. And that worked out. But anyway, teleprompters work for facial capture.
They do. And they make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Also, separating facial capture from body mocap makes life much simpler.
Okay. A quick update on our journey with Bacon Wrapped Avocado. The company that we do animation for, that we own, is called Bacon Wrapped Avocado. And we just had a really big milestone.
Last week we finally turned in an application for a big grant that we're hoping to get. So that has been one of our goals since we started, was to get enough done to have a demo of our application and a video demonstrating our demo.
We have been working on those two things, the demo, which is basically our application that we're trying to complete and lets us, it's like a movie player, I guess.
Yeah. So in that case, application refers to app, right? For the MetaQuest headset, we have an app that will play our movies.
And so our team of four have been working on this, not only that, but actually showing an episode. So we've put together an episode. And then, yes, we had to make a video showing our application, which in itself is very difficult because getting footage from inside the application in a way that can be seen in a VR headset is complicated.
Right. So if we had wanted to make a flat demo video, that would have been much easier. But since our whole product is focused on, you know, the 3D aspect being integral and necessary, you know, not just having gimmicks where something flies at your face or something, but you actually being in the movie and being able to, in our application, move around in the movie, we wanted even the video to give at least some of that. Now, in the video, you can't move around, so we do have some cuts. But we did find a tool that lets us make 3D videos inside the Unreal Engine environment.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's basically like, you know, you're going inside the virtual reality world and putting a camera inside that can shoot 360 3D videos. And from that, you actually record as if you were inside the... Anyway, it's
complicated.
It's very complicated. But.
And then we had to have our Unreal developer do some special things to try and record the heads-up display so that you could record the menus, because that's the sort of thing that you normally can't see, you know, a player's menu. So even the little camera we put inside the environment was not recording specific players' menus. So then we had to get footage of that. And it was actually a good learning experience figuring out how to get through all those hoops and make a good demonstration video.
So we had to create the application, create the content for the application, create the video showing. All those things have taken us close to 3 years yeah. of work while we're doing our own, you know, jobs and family. Everybody's working part-time on the project and doing other things. But the four of us stuck with it, and we finally got something out.
So now we need to wait about 90 days to find out whether
it's a yes or a no.
Yeah. And, you know, either way, we're going to want to try and raise some more money from other sources, but it would certainly be a nice validation as we go to other places to be able to say, you know, well, we have this one and this is, you know, significant. Somebody believes in this project. So now, you know, do you want to be a part of it? And it becomes more of an invitation. We're doing something awesome. And even in this, we were trying to express that this really is a very cool project, and to invite other people to be part of it, as opposed to, you know, begging for money to allow us to do it. It's part of selling the project is believing in it. And when you believe in it, then you realize that allowing people to invest in it is an opportunity for them.
But this ties back into the topic at the beginning, because I think asking for money for your project and worrying about money is one of those things that affects your creativity. You know, like I've noticed, at least for me, you go in a different mode, you know, when you think, oh, you know, how are we going to fund this project? That's a worry that you're not creating content around the same time. You know, maybe you are for the sake of promoting it. You know, that's a little bit of creating content, but you're definitely not in the state of mind where you're like, ideas are flowing, because you're spending the time worrying about how to actually fund the project.
I think that's one of the hard things in, you know, being an entrepreneur in a small business, is switching from, you know, administrative or marketing into creative. And for me, particularly from marketing into creative, because marketing is not something I'm naturally good at. And there's a lot of things that you can do and a lot of research you can do and a lot of things that need to be done. And for me, that's just stress. And so I can like lose myself for like a week just getting bent out of shape, worrying about marketing, trying to figure out things about marketing, trying to find platforms for marketing, you know, and then I'm like, okay, well, now I haven't done anything creative for like 5 days, because what I've been doing is trying to make these little ads that all suck or at least appear to, because they're completely ineffective, which I don't know how else you would judge them. And it just tears me up. And so then, you know, trying to come back and say, no, marketing may not be my thing, but I can be creative. We can do this. Trying to focus back on that.
I think we should definitely have like the beginning maybe of our next podcast talking about business and art, you know, and art and how they're in conflict sometimes. You know, I think that's a pretty good topic.
Yeah, people talk a lot about work-life balance, but within your work, right, you have to have a business creativity balance.
Yes, right. All right, well, I think I need to get back to work.
All right.